Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome back to Believe in Softball. I'm your host, Jenna Becerra, and however you got here today, whether it was an audio podcast platform like Apple, Spotify, etc., or watching on YouTube, thank you. Subscribe and rate the show wherever you get your pods if you haven't yet. You can follow us on Instagram and X/Twitter at Believe in Softball. That's B-L-E-A-V. There's also merch. Click the link in our bio in either of those pages or go to shop.believe.com to purchase 3 different shirts covering our bases, safer out, and catch you soon. All right, let's go through today's batting order. First, we'll be covering our bases. I'll share some callouts from the softball world. Then we'll head into today's interview, part 2 of my conversation with Arizona State head coach Megan Bartlett. I did get to say hi to her in person when I called their series this past weekend, so I'm excited for you to hear the rest of the conversation. And then we'll end things with the foul tip of the week, where we share tips to help us get better. All right, let's go. Covering our bases. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. BetOnline, where the game starts. And as you know, the great opportunity with Rip It Sports also starts here. Another weekend of broadcasting with my Ringer Turfs in the books. And actually, if you look closely at my latest interview with Reagan Krause on D1 Softball's social media channels, you'll see them in the frame, nice and icy, the all whites. And I also chatted with another Rip It Sports athlete this weekend, Nidre Kennedy, about how much we both like wearing them, how much we like the shoes. And I think, you know, it's pretty cool. It also makes me feel cool anyway that she's also on board with this. But even cooler because of their mission, which is to elevate female athletic performance. They understand that women and girls deserve gear specifically tailored to our unique needs. Gear that fits right, performs well, and meets our standards. So Rip It is offering an exclusive 15% discount. Just use the code Jenna15 when you shop at ripit.com. That is Jenna15, J-E-N-N-A, 1-5. This is your chance to experience the same quality gear that helps so many women and girls excel, including me and Nigeri. And speaking of excelling, college softball is right now. There are so many different callouts that I could talk about right now, but really let's just start at the top. So there are 3 different number one teams across the rankings right now in Division I. So the coaches poll, the NFCA kept OU at number one. ESPN and D1 softball gave it to Texas, and other outlets even named Duke. It has been a while since there was an argument for this many different teams to potentially be in that number one spot. So firstly, I think that's a good thing, that this is a little bit more interesting for us than maybe it was in the year that Oklahoma didn't lose a game. Now they lost to Texas in the series in Austin, right? And so we're having new conversations. And actually, we break down the rankings, which is a hot topic, the national landscape, everything with D1 softball this week, as well as some of the updated rules that we're seeing this season and the effects that they're having, like reviewing runners leaving early or the tweaked obstruction rule or lots of different things. So if you want to hear the rant, go to this week's D1 pod episode. You will not be disappointed. But then in college, it's more than just softball, isn't it? We're also proponents of women's sports. I got to give a shout out to March Madness. First of all, the thing that comes to mind for me is just that quote that's gaining some popularity, I guess you could say. Everyone watches women's sports. The Iowa-UConn Final Four game, aka Caitlin Clark and Paige Beckers, most watched basketball game ever on ESPN. Men's, women's, pro, college, doesn't matter, ever. Then fast forward to the championship game with Iowa and South Carolina, who end up being the undefeated champs for the Gamecocks. 18.7 million average viewers. Average. It peaked at 24 million. So another record shattered. And then when it comes to the in-person piece of it all, The all-time attendance record for all rounds of the tournament was also broken. 436,055 people watched these things in person. There's just nothing quite like breaking glass ceilings. You know, the whole point is that there will be no glass ceilings one day left to break because all of it has been smashed by people that come before us. And so to see that within our women's sports world, within the college athletics world, always, always going to be excited about that. Gives me really excited for Mayhem too, for us coming up, right? For our chance at the postseason and all the craziness that goes down in the tournament too. But speaking of college greatness, the GOAT, Tara Vanderveer announcing her retirement. We call a lot of people the GOAT these days, but she really is the greatest of all time. The winningest college basketball coach ever, men's or women's, 1,216 wins during her time. 40 years of that was at Stanford, 3 national titles, the latest one just in 2021. But honestly, most importantly, and this is what she says is most important, just a steward of a sisterhood that spans generations on the farm. And in the press conference, she said herself, you know, she didn't think she'd ever be ready to retire, really. She literally said, she's like, I thought I'd just keel over on the bench one day. And it's because she loves it so much. But she finally feels like she is. And I was in a unique position, you know, the first Stanford Athletics broadcast after this press conference and this announcement, it was Fresno State softball playing at Stanford on Pac-12 networks. And I got to highlight her during that. And I think that is another example of just the crossover and the support among women's sports as a whole. And all of this is important at the end of the day because empowered women empower women, and we're all in this together. So this is the kind of content that we need. Thank you, Tara. Also content that we need, I mentioned the new D1 softball episode came out this week for the podcast. My co-host Amanda Lorenz and I not only talk about all the stuff going on, like the OU Texas series that went down and everything across the board, but also we interview Vivi Martinez from Texas softball. So you get to hear straight from her about the huge series win and what her experience has been like this season. By the way, it might also be my favorite win of the week segment that we've ever done. So you'll enjoy. And then what's coming up next in general as well is I'm calling more games on TV with Pac-12 networks. Next up is the UCLA series at Stanford. So stay tuned for that. But someone else with more TV games on Pac-12 Network this season is today's guest. Megan Bartlett is back. So let's head into the rest of the interview. Well, two of the women that you've mentioned, your mom, first of all, like how wise, right? And we do hate when our parents are right. But so like just big picture thinking, which I love to hear. But then also you're talking about Deanna too. I think that's why it's so important that we have more and more women, right, in these positions to have those impacts moments on players. Cause like, look at you, like this is a clear ripple effect that is happening, right? Because of experiences. So I think that's just literally what it's all about. So that's just anything that I could ever want to hear basically.
Yeah. I was certainly lucky, and Deanna. And then of course, Chris Ganef has been there really the entire time, right? Chris's first year at Notre Dame was my freshman year. When Liz Miller retired with that new staff. Sharmell Green is now the deputy AD at Utah. I mean, she's an absolute rock star in the world of athletic directors. And then my first boss, actually, when I was getting my MBA at Loyola, was the wonderful Yvette Healy. So I don't know if you've had the pleasure of chatting with Yvette from Wisconsin, but between Deanna and Yvette, those two certainly raised me in the professional realm, right? That they taught me what it means to be smart and strong and embrace who I am, but also be an incredible mom, right? Mm-hmm. Like I'm close to both of their kids and I laugh. Brady was like the baby, right? Like Deanna had Brady my freshman fall and Brady's wrapping up college and has had a great career at Notre Dame. And I'm like, what is happening? Baseball. So, both certainly, I think, understand the psyche of female athletes and what makes them tick. And they understand how to build a strong clubhouse and what that takes and what values were most important in it. So I certainly, again, whether that was a happenstance or whatever, I've got to watch some of the best right?
Yeah.
Love their people well and create really prolific programs.
I did get a chance to chat with Yvette Healy this year. So I also, in my role with D1 softball, got to chat with her at Mary Nutter just after one of their games. And I was so glad too, because I had been like keeping an eye on them. They had been fighting. They had some losses at the time, right, early in the year. But I was like, you know, that they're in it every single game. So I love to see, like, when you see that on the field, like, where does that come from, right? Their fearless leader. And to hear what you're saying, it feels like it all aligns.
Yeah, she's amazing. She is. She is smart and she is positive and she always gets the best out of her teams, right? Yeah. And she does it with grace and kindness and just she will challenge people, but she will do it in this way that like makes you believe you can run straight through a wall, right? It's going to hurt. Shouldn't do it.
But you will.
She'll talk you into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
She is crafty. She's brilliant. And her teams are certainly a product, again, like of her vision, her presence, her enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and the family aspect that you mentioned too, so I can totally relate. So John Rittman, now the head coach at Clemson, was my head coach when I played at Stanford. And I remember when his kids were so young and they're out of college, like they're in the working world and they both played football in college. And I'm like, what? Actually, his son, Justin's the older one. He went to UCLA. But his younger son, Jake, actually played at Notre Dame. He was a kicker. Those are the types of things. It's like, I remember committing and they were just like little kids. I'm like, how are you? Like, Justin's engaged. It's just wild.
Full on adult.
And then, right. And then you also reminded me. So Trisha Ford was actually the assistant coach at the time when I played. Yes. So Emma, her and EJ, I remember when she told us that she was pregnant with EJ and we were like, what? Now he's like so much older. And I remember seeing him, I think when they played Stanford at one point. And I was like, yeah, I remember when when you were in mommy's tummy kind of thing. And all these things. And he was like, what? And I was like, that's how I know I'm getting older too. Cause I'm now that person, right? That's like, I knew you when you were a baby kind of thing. I'm like,
you were so little and I used to carry you around. Yeah. Brady's like, beat it, lady. I don't even know you.
Yeah, right. Emma thought I was so cool. Coach Ford's older daughter at that time when she was like a toddler, doesn't even really remember now, right? And I'm like, oh, crushed. But
right.
Yeah, but I love that your kids are going to get that experience too, and that your team gets that experience, because it is one of the more fun parts about it.
They all have a special bond for sure.
Yeah. Okay, you also touched on with the professional stuff. You are a licensed attorney though, right? In Illinois, is that right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you ever like
licensed in the state I live in?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, right. Can you help me with? I'm like, yeah, you don't want me to do that. But it's like a long time now. So I really spent my 20s kind of degree chasing. I had done an internship at Notre Dame with St. Joe's Medical Center and the chief informatics officer there that I really loved. And that's what my mom does for a living. She was a nurse by trade and she was a VP of quality for a really long time. And knew I needed a master's to be able to get a fellowship, right, to kind of get my foot in the door at a hospital. So got the MBA. And then actually one of my Chicago Bandits teammates, dear friend of mine, the wonderful Lindsay Chenard Platt, got the Northern Illinois job. And she's like, okay, come out here. Let's rebuild this thing. Coach with me. And they'll pay for law school. So I certainly have the incredible Jim Phillips, who's now the commissioner of the ACC. At the time, right before he went to Northwestern, he was the athletic director at Northern Illinois. And he kind of gave his blessing, right, for that whole process. He was actually one of the assistant ADs at Notre Dame when I was there. So here we are, like, life full circle again.
Yeah.
So spent 5 years there and helped Lindsay, right, kind of build that program back up. And just, again, we didn't sleep for a while. Greg was at the field all day recruiting, doing all the things, would go to class all morning to like noon and then back to the office and then to the field, run home, shower, eat like lean cuisine, something disgusting, right? That I was eating in my 20s because it took 2 seconds to heat up, and then right back to the law library till about midnight, and did that for 4 years, and really was super proud of the team we put together there, and passed the bar, I think, on like August 6th or something, and got on a plane for Austria. My husband was finishing his hockey career. So we spent a hockey season in Austria and then the next hockey season in Denmark. So I'd actually taken 2 years off from coaching, which was kind of great. And at the time, again, I wasn't quite sure where the life path was going to land. But when I was away from it, I missed coaching terribly. But it was the human element, right? It was that like being around the young ones and creating those relationships and being a mentor and a role model and, just someone they're always going to have in their life, right? To be able to lean on, bounce ideas, just someone to, I don't know, pump them up when they need it, whatever it is. And yeah, I missed that. So at that point, we decided we were done with the hockey crazy adventures and had gotten pregnant with Vivian. So took the job at Purdue, was an assistant there for a year, and then Ball State called, I guess, that May, and the rest is history, right? Ball State to Texas, and now Sun Devil. So yes, cool. the crazy degree chasing 20s.
I'm sensing the theme with no sleep. And I noticed right away when we hopped on, like, you got your Starbucks, right?
So got a big one.
Yeah.
We got to get ready for Stanford this weekend. They're pretty good.
Exactly. I'm so excited to be on the call, but just to get to know you in a little bit more, in a deeper sense, right? Than maybe we typically do for like broadcast prep calls. Like, this is really nice to get to know you more as a person. Like you're saying with how important that is with your team. I think it's important from this side of things too.
Agreed. It certainly makes for a much more interesting broadcast.
Exactly. Exactly.
Kind of like, I don't know, play off of people's personalities and reactions a little bit too.
Yes, 100%. Actually, along with that too. So do you ever tap into your inner lawyer, like for a video review or for just any moment in your coaching career? Are you ever like, okay, I kind of have my lawyer hat on right now?
Yeah. Probably more so with the administrators than the umpires. I feel like I don't know. I don't know how to win with umpires. I feel like it's a lot of male umpires and you're a younger female and you try and keep it short, keep it succinct, get your point across and keep it moving. But my boss, who I love here very much, is an attorney, and he was an agent, I think, for the first like 20 years of his career. Wow. So our conversations, and I love him, but people are always like, oh my God, are you good? Or is he good? Are you guys mad? And I'm like, no, just how we talk.
Yeah.
Great. I love him. He's great. So it's just like two attorneys processing really fast, like, and then he walks out and I'm like, yeah, we're all good here. So that was kind of a crazy, I think the first interview I did here of like the 8 or 10 people, because it was kind of a lot of people, right? We were kind of post-pandemic and trying to move really quickly. But I think there were 4 attorneys on the call. So it was actually funny, because if you know anything about attorneys, they're going to ask you the same question over and over again in a different way, right? So it's kind of like a deposition. So I got off the Zoom call. My husband was like peeking around the corner, right? And he's like, okay, how'd it go? And I'm like, I have no idea. He's like, what do you mean? He's like, did they like you? And I'm like, I can't tell. There was just a bunch of attorneys who kept asking me the exact same question. They kept getting the exact same answer. So that's either the answer they wanted and I stayed consistent to it, or I'm not getting a second call. Because the answer is just the answer. Like, I don't, we're talking about people and dynamics and values and vision, mission, and right? Like, not like, well, how do you teach the swing? Like, no administrator's ever going to ask you that. They don't know.
No.
They don't care.
Yeah.
So,
and there are people who can do that. It's like the intangible stuff that makes the difference a little bit more, you know? So yeah, that makes sense. That's so funny though. Cause that's the thing too, even getting a peek into that process for you, because Every adult at least has like interviewed for a job and felt that way where they're like, I have no idea how that went. Like, that's so relatable.
Yeah, 100%. I was like, this is great. I'm going to get an offer in like a day or two, or this was a horrible fit and we're all just going to keep moving, right? So either way, I'm good. Because if you also do this job long enough, fit is so much of it. And we talk about that a lot with like kids and the recruiting process and right where you fall on the athletic spectrum, the academic spectrum, your major, you know, like we think about it more in that realm. But I got really good advice early on from some coaches that like, as you move through and take jobs, you need to be able to trust and connect with the people around you, right? Especially your administrators. Departmentally, does it make sense? Is it somewhere you want to live? Like there's just so many more things that go into it. Right. And not every job's worth taking. Yeah. Right. I mean, how it's resourced and, you know, just a lot of kind of factors. So I think really quickly and early on, I had kind of learned right from my mentors to just be very discerning with the people you tie your livelihood to. Right. Especially departmentally, administratively.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It was a happy fit. But could have gone either way.
Yeah. Well, and you're right. That's how it is when you're being recruited. You talked about like your process, even like in high school when you were thinking about where to go. Same thing. And even if you're not in sports, your career, you still have to think of it in that way as well, because you spend a lot of time with these people. So you want to make sure it's good. Yeah.
Yeah. And that there's a lot of trust there, right?
Yeah.
You're dealing with young people and you are certainly not going to, it's to try and think like, I'm going to coach the 25 kids a year at this place for 10 to 20 years. Right. And they're all going to be super happy. They're not right. Like 9 to 12 of them will be day-to-day kids on a roster of, you know, right now we've got 21, but normally I think probably 25, my guess would be maybe the Division I average. Yeah. Like that's not realistic either. Right. Yeah. So, but if you trust the message they're giving, right. And vice versa, they trust you, you and your staff, like you're doing right by people. You're doing your best. You're making calculated decisions and they certainly know you will not keep everyone happy. Right. At this level.
Right. So. Well, even though it's only been a year and a half, I would ask you, like, what do you feel like are kind of two parts of this, your big takeaways, but one for the program, like since you've been there. But also for this year's team and your season so far.
Yeah. The takeaway for the program, anything worth building is going to take time. And I don't know that you'll meet four more competitive people than the four of us, right?
Yeah.
On this staff. And we certainly tried to build Rome in a day. That would work for me. I'm like, yeah. Let's skip forward, you know, to years four, years five. And it's always people first, right? So if you do right by people, we just have to trust who we are. We have to trust our process. And honestly, the reason that I brought all of us here. And I think that we're in a really good place. But I think it's easy. Like rebuilds, this is, I think, my like fourth or fifth year too. So I've also, interestingly enough, I certainly had the option to go immediately be an assistant in the Power Five when I was a baby, right? Like I was a little pup coach and could have, you know, kind of ridden the coattails of an older, more established winning program and just kept it moving, right? I was degree chasing and moving on. And I'm from Indiana, right? So Purdue, Ball State, that was home. I had a baby. I was close to my mom and dad who helped a ton when the girls were little. So there were so much more that kind of lined up there. But you know, your two can be tough, right? Like it kind of looks like, okay, well, these are your own kids. You know, some years it's just the recruiting process, especially before the portal, right?
Yeah.
It just took longer, right? You're recruiting high school kids. You've got to get them in the door. And the reality is when you're recruiting sophomores and juniors in high school, at least back then, now it's juniors. But that still takes a year or two for them to get anywhere, right?
Right.
Then you have to get them in the system, get them acclimated, get them stronger, see who's going to compete well at this level, kind of where the shortcomings are, where we bridge the gap. And that process just takes time. But I firmly believe when it's people first, the values are in the right place, and honestly, you're the role model and you live them, you're going to have the ability to compete Oklahoma City national championship year in and year out, not a one-off team, right? You make it, nobody sees you for, I don't know, 3-4 more years. But to do the OKC year in and year out, you think about those prolific type programs, your Oklahoma, UCLA, you know, Arizona and Mike Candre years. I mean, you think about those really prolific programs, but you also think about how tight those clubhouses were and those cultures and how involved their alums are. That all, right, kind of works in tandem. But certainly it's all a process. And then for this year and this group, the challenge to them with injury after injury after injury, there's just been a lot of things we haven't been able to control, right? I certainly don't have kids going out trying to injure themselves, right? Or staff that's not trying to figure it out. So,
yeah,
you know, everybody's working and grinding, but it's tough sometimes. And sometimes you are going to put your heart and soul and every bit of everything you have into something and you don't reap the reward. That's life. And that's something you have to, I don't know, talk to Jesus about, or kind of find your peace with, but you don't get to shut it down. You don't get to stop fighting, right? That's not life because it doesn't get any less stressful, right? Like these will be the glory days, and then it's going to be jobs and, right? Like marriages, like the best marriages, like that gets tough at points, and they'll be, you know, you're going to be raising kids. Like the stress level really doesn't come down, right? From here on out. And you've got to find a way to be resilient and show up every day and keep your head high and know that you're grinding and you put in the work. So that's just the place that, right, as we're kind of, I would say injury plagued, but that would be nice at this point. We have to keep working and grinding and fighting. Who we have on the field is still good enough to win ball games and find their way into postseason. But we've got to start to, and this is not shocking and probably why we spend so much time on the mental and emotional side of what we do, but we have to just roll out with better consistency, right? Mm-hmm. Especially from our, from Marissa, Deborah, Mac, the pitchers that are still taking on a lot of the workload. You got to consistently show up every day, right? Give us a shot to win. So that's really the message to this crew. Like you will be the masters of your own destiny, right? But there's no pity party in this. No one feels sorry for you. No one feels bad for you, right? It's been a tough break, right? The number one, number two pitcher are not available right now. So figure it out. There's six of you.
you're all
capable of winning games at this level. So someone's going to step up and do it. Like that's the very essence of you being an athlete and a competitor, right? Like you want the shot, go get it, take it. So we just got to keep them fighting right now.
Well, I'm fired up just from talking about it. Honestly, can't wait for this weekend.
Jenna, I will sign you up. Do you have any eligibility left? Do you want to come? We'll put you in a uniform.
I wish. Honestly, my aunt and uncle, my family who live out, they live in Gilbert, so they're not far. They would love it. That would be like their dream of life.
Love it. We're hired.
Yeah. So funny. Well, I would have 5,000 more questions for you, but I do a wrap-up game with everybody that comes on the show. It's called Safer Out. And basically, I'll just bring up a topic related to softball. And if you like it or you agree with it, you call it safe. If you don't, then you call it out.
Okay, fun.
So I know you said you're still figuring out with the umpires, right? But you are the umpire in this situation.
Okay, I'm the umpire. I like this game.
Yeah, you're in control. Okay, so the first one is preseason awards. Safer out.
Out. I'm out.
I agree. I've never been into them. Okay, but yeah, tell me more about that.
Oh, I just think it's all just for clicks, right? Like, and I think honestly, if kids, it's amazing. You can't keep them off social media anymore, right? Yeah. And I think there was a space and time where the kids had it, but you could kind of like address it, get them to leave it behind and keep it moving. And I have just not had that experience, right, in the last couple years, that people get so wrapped up. And I was awarded this, or I wasn't awarded this. And I'm like, oh my God, it's all fake. You have no stats. Like, did you grind? Did you do all the things you were supposed to do last summer to be amazing? Great. Right. Then let's earn something. And certainly, that's wonderful, right? Like, once the hard and true numbers and things, you know, roll out at the end of the season. But no, I'm out on preseason awards. I think it puts a unnecessary stress expectation on these kids that, by nature of having a smartphone since they were probably 12, they live under a microscope anyway.
Yeah.
And they are hyper aware of things that the Twitter and Instagram trolls are saying and what mom and dad want for them. Like, there's so much external noise coming at these kids. Mm-mm. So I'm out. If I could just delete every one of them, I would. And you can, you know, do preseason kind of, I don't know, exposés on teams, and let's read about something interesting that's not some random list that, you know, people pulled numbers from a year ago.
Well, that's where I am at with it. I like talking about, like, oh, what could be interesting to see this year? Like, who keep an eye on, you know, that type of stuff. But the awards, like, when they're literally framed as awards, I'm like, but isn't this either based on something they haven't done yet? Because to your point, there's no stats, or you're basically just awarding them for something they did in the past that they were probably already awarded for.
Totally.
So why are we doing it? Yeah. And actually, even this season is a good example. Like, there weren't any Sun Devils on the Pac-12 preseason list, right? And it's like, well, that doesn't quite feel wholly representative of the conference. You know what I mean? And it wasn't just them. It was like Oregon State as well. Like, you know, it's just like, there's more to it. It's oversimplified at times, for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can submit my formal request.
Yes, I know. I know. Even though I have not chosen much on the preseason front, but I have at times for some of my media roles, and it's always a challenge because I'm like, I always feel that conflict.
Do I have to do this?
Yeah. I'm like, I'll talk about it, softball players, all day long. But yeah, the actual awards part, I'm like, oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, that was the first one. Okay. Second one is conference realignment. Safer out.
Oh, can I be both on this? In a perfect world, out.
Yeah.
But really, the business model, right? And now what we've created in college athletics with chasing big football money.
Yeah.
Just really to survive, got to be safe.
Yeah. Right? And I understand that. Yeah.
At the end of the day, things, you don't want to be left in the dust resource-wise. So no, I don't think it's good for any Olympic sport athletes that you're going to be traveling coast to coast on weekends. You know, we certainly lucked into kind of a, whether luck is the right word or not, there's probably an argument to be made prior to all this happening for Arizona and Arizona State that we geographically make sense to be in the Big 12.
Yeah.
Especially with who has softball and who doesn't, right? Because for us right now, what will be right after this season with the Big 12 softball, our only outlier geographically is UCF.
Yeah.
Right? Because West Virginia, Cincinnati, SMU, like, none of them have softball.
Right.
I'm sure there's some people, right? And so then, of course, we added the Utah schools, the Big 12 added the Utah schools. So,
yeah.
Well, we kind of shook out okay there. I certainly sympathize, right, with my former Pac-12 colleagues that are now going to have to be going coast to coast, or, you know, playing in a pretty cold part of the world. In March and early April. I played some Big Ten games that I try to forget and do not envy, that I'm like, I'm fairly certain I might still have frostbite somewhere. So it's not great. But at the same time, this is what we've created now in college athletics. And if you do not have the resource and the funding, you are going to get left in the dark. So,
yeah, that is where we're at. Mm-hmm. That is where, but add this to the list too of everything that's been thrown at you in this only been a year and a half, right? second year at ASU, last year of the Pac-12 as we know it, and then you're moving to the Big 12. Like, that is so much going on. That's so in terms of it being the last year of the Pac, like, how are you kind of viewing that this season?
Yeah, it's certainly I grew up watching the Pac, right? Like, we all did, right? That those battles, right? UCLA, Arizona, and Oklahoma City. And I'm pretty certain the only game that was ever on for a while was the actual national championship. And, you know, life full circle. Like, I got to play center field behind Jenny Finch in the pro league. And, but yeah, to be able to be a part of the Pac, and I think something that has so much, especially in softball, rich tradition and history, and really a coaching unit that all of them, right? A lot of them are alums from whatever school they played at that coach there now. And that really, for the most part, coaching group has been together for a long time.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of pride and candor and trust in that group of women too. So certainly happy that I got to be a part of it. What, you know, ended up being very brief, two seasons, but and get to know them all on a more personal level, right? Because they were coaches that I certainly looked up to when I was a, you know, player and then a baby coach. So grateful to be a part of it. I think we're all very sad to see it go, right? Pac-12 softball is pretty epic.
Yeah, definitely. I think, oh yeah, I am. I'm like, am I wearing it right now? I am wearing my Pac-12. We're repping it. And for this weekend too. But I think it's cool that you've all experienced too, having all female head coaches, so many alums also, like, but just all former players at minimum that you guys have been able to lead in that way. I think it's so unique and cool. And you have been a part of that as well, even though it's like, you wish it was longer, it's still been there. Yeah.
It was certainly a special thing. Very unique, but that is, it is an interesting thing. Like the way that group of women, right? Cause it was maybe 3-4 seasons ago, especially with postseason seeding, right? That the Pack got, you know, what they felt was slighted a little bit. And since then, I think they've really had to collectively come together as a unit, right? And start to kind of, you know, rat calls and kind of fight and protect each other a little bit, right? To make sure the greatest amount of teams were getting at large bids into the postseason. And that was something they all was sincerely important to them, not just for their own teams, right? But to represent a conference and something that has meant so much to them collectively for so long.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's totally right. Well, the last one is bat flips, safe or out.
Out.
I'm always curious because some people, I've been shocked that they've said safe. Yeah, not big on it. Okay.
I love it. We kind of like pretend the bat's a pitchfork, right? Once they're kind of like
totally
off to the side, closer to the dugout, you'll see the girls like, you know, spike the pitchfork with the bat. And I'm like, that's, you know, that's all good, right? We're off the playing surface. And, but I can tell you, one of my kids bat flips and that ball does not fly out of the yard. I'm like, oh, you are in so much trouble. You don't even know.
Yeah.
We do not showboat and hot dog, right? And then have it not leave the yard. I'm like, so you better have hit that thing straight up the net about 100.
Well, that's the thing is like, I don't know. I can't off the top of my head think of anything worse than that. You know, like bat flipping.
It's cringy to think about, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's a softball ick. For sure.
Totally. 100%. 100%.
Oh my gosh. So funny. Well, thank you again for doing this. I'm so excited to hopefully get to say hello in person this weekend as well, but just to call the games and and get to see you in person. Love it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Jenna.
Again, I'm just thrilled to be able to have Megan on the show and for you to hear the rest of the conversation, just especially in the timing right now that we're in with her tenure. Because I think it's really easy, it's really desirable to talk with coaches when they're at their peak or after they've accomplished a lot of big things in their career. But what about when they're on their way there? You know, they build their programs up over time, and that's what she's doing at ASU right now. So with that, let's transition to the foul tip of the week. This week's foul tip is about patience. This is something that's come to mind several times recently because it's so easy to be impatient, isn't it? And I think about just the different aspects and the different parts of our softball community, even with rankings. You know, fans kind of jump ahead, get ahead of themselves when we still got games to play. We got to let things play out, right? Coaches, they want to realize their vision. They've been putting the foundation together and they want those building blocks to be in place. We need some time. Players seeing their hard work pay off in results because they're putting all this work in and it's hard not to want the end result rather than just focus on the process. We all have those moments. And it really comes down to, as basic as it seems, you got to keep grinding. And there is failure involved with that. That's why it's called a grind. It's hard because we don't see what's on the other side of that grind as well. Nothing is guaranteed in sports. That's something that Danielle Laurie, actually, friend of the show, talks about a lot. But that's both the agony and the beauty of it at the end of the day. It takes patience to start or rebuild a program. It takes patience for your favorite team to win that championship while you're cheering them on. It takes patience to take things pitch by pitch, just one thing at a time. But I think sometimes it's okay to be the sleeping giant for a while until it all comes together, right? And it all is awakened. It's sometimes even a little bit sweeter that way because it's earned. And I've been reminding myself of this a lot lately. It will come. It will come. So that's it. Be patient. That's the foul tip of the week. You've been listening to Believe in Softball, part of Believe Network and presented by Bet Online. The show is available anywhere you get your podcasts, wherever you listen, including Believe.com and YouTube too. Subscribe to the show, rate the show, and if you liked it, write a review for it. Follow us on X/Twitter and Instagram at Believe in Softball. That's BLEAV. You can reach out to me personally on X or Twitter at JennaBecerra01 and Instagram at JennaBecerra as well. As always, thank you for tuning in and catch you soon.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.